Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
Come on! Good morning. It's 5. We're live. Your early morning shot of sports. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888-957-9570. If you're a 49er fan right now, any talk this past week, any personnel changes that you thought might have been, well, after that week 2 victory going 41-17 and crushing the Cincinnati Bengals, getting your second straight road win since the first time that's been done since 1989. If this coming week is going to be nothing but football now, it's no more off the field, what's going to happen with this team in the future? Is Kyle Shanahan the guy? Is Jimmy Garoppolo the starting quarterback? What's going to happen when we got Tevin Coleman out? None of that this week is going to be raised. None of those questions. Because that game yesterday was about as impressive of a win as I've seen from the 49ers in the Kyle Shanahan era. And there have been some impressive wins, even though there are few to go by. But this one against the Bengals was totally dominant. And I have been seeing a lot of, well, it's just the Bucks. Well, it's just the Bengals. Well, here's the thing. Did you see the Bengals against the Seahawks last week? Did you see the Buccaneers against the Panthers this week? They're making the teams that are expected to be bad look bad. And that's what you want from this 49ers team right now. Yesterday, it was probably, if you were a 49er fan, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Was that the easiest game for you to watch in the past couple of years? Was that the easiest game to watch? Were you on cruise control that entire time? Because the game, it started out like this.
Play action, throwing the ball on first down, and immediately the pressure pays off for the 49ers. Eric Armstead was there. He had a sack a week ago. DJ Jones was there, among others. A loss of 8.
Right away, Eric Armstead comes in. I don't remember if he had the Jordan 1s on, the Air Jordan 1 retro cleats. I think he did because he's one of the ones that rocks him along with Nick Bosa. But it started out like that, and then he had a botched snap by Andy Dalton on the second play of the game, and then they punted it away. And then they come in, they establish a run just on one run, and then on the play action do this.
First down, they take it one way, roll the other. Garoppolo
touchdown.
Down the field and wide open, and that will be a touchdown for Marquise Goodwin. What a start for the 49ers. A 38-yard touchdown, and there was not a Bengal defender within 15 yards of Marquise Goodwin.
Shout out to Fox for the audio as Tom Brenneman and Chris Spielman were on the call, and that was an interesting broadcast, if I had to say the least. But that play, that was just a part of a myriad of plays that were just wide open for Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday. And Kyle Shanahan had this Bengals defense fooled. He was running the ball with Matt Breida. He was fooling them on play action, getting these wide receivers wide open. And if I'm already going to pull out the next-gen stats from... If I'm going to pull out the next-gen stats from Nice Guy Steven here, Kimberly, I just call myself that. Never say your own nickname in third person. That's just odd, and I regret saying that already at 5:04 in the morning, but here we are. The percentage of aggressive passes that Jimmy Garoppolo had in this game, and when they say aggressive passes, that means whether there is a defender within a yard of the wide receiver. If he's a yard or more separated from the wide receiver, that doesn't technically count as an aggressive pass. He was second to last, and he was second to last this week in aggressive passes, which means Kyle Shanahan was scheming these guys open, and Jimmy Garoppolo was completing the passes that he needed to complete. And I know that they're wide open, but Jimmy Garoppolo even said after the game that those type of passes are the ones that get you nervous because you have to make them. It's kind of like when an outfielder is trying to catch a routine pop-up and he just goes ahead and drops it. It's nerve-wracking. But when you're so in the moment, when you're trying to make a tough play and you're thrown into a tight window that you're not even thinking about it, there's nothing really going on in the back of your head. But with Jimmy Garoppolo, he said with that pass to Goodwin, he was thinking in the back of his mind, what if I'm on not top 10 SportsCenter? There are things that go through your mind when you're making those type of passes. But those plays that they had yesterday just made the Bengals defense look silly. And they came out and they established themselves as a not-so-bad defense when they played against the Seahawks. Seahawks, by the way, pulling off the win against the Steelers. But this upcoming week, though, it's not going to be, hey, should we start Nick Mullins over Jimmy Garoppolo? How long of a leash does John Lynch have if his draft picks don't work out? It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be, where do these 49ers rank among the NFC? Because if you're looking down the list, 49ers are up there right now. And they're in a close tie with the Rams. I needed to go ahead and watch the Rams back, but they didn't look too great against the Panthers. And then they ended up getting the win over the Saints yesterday. But when I'm looking at these other teams in the NFC, though, and it was against the Saints, correct? If I'm just like going by memory here. And looking at it. Where are you? Jeez, I can't even find the score right now. But when the Rams played against the Panthers, they didn't look all that great. And yesterday it was against the Saints. They didn't look all that great either until the end when Drew Brees went out with a thumb injury and Teddy Bridgewater had to go in. But It's hard to make the argument that any team is better than the 49ers in the NFC West right now. And that you might think that's an overreaction, but if you look at the talent on the team and you see it all come together when they're fully healthy, Matt Breida being the feature back, being that running back that everyone thinks he can be, going for over 100 yards, 121 yards on 12 carries, which is what he's been doing. If you look at his game logs from last year, when he in the first 4 weeks, he had two games where he rushed over 100 yards but didn't have more than 10 carries. So he gets it done. Not only does he get done big, but he gets it done efficiently. And he was the reason that the 49ers won that game yesterday. Matt Breida was the one who had this Bengals defense on their toes. They didn't really know what to do. This was the main play that really had you notice that.
Third down. And looking for a hole. And what a juke there by Breida. And off to the race down the sideline with a man to beat. And run out of bounds inside the 15. That's what Breida can do for you.
Yeah. He was bouncing around in the backfield, making defenders miss, being shifty. So as long as everyone's healthy going forward, there's no reason to doubt what this 49ers team can do. And the fact that Ben Roethlisberger could be out, there was a update here from Adam Schefter that I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have the tweet in front of me. But basically, they're saying that he wants to avoid getting elbow surgery, but the doctors don't know if it's unavoidable. He'll be getting an MRI later today. And I'm just going to say this right now. I don't think Mason Rudolph is that much of a slouch. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes or anything, but you remember when Patrick Mahomes was drafted because they needed someone behind Alex Smith? well, Mason Rudolph was drafted so that he could be behind Ben Roethlisberger, kind of like Aaron Rodgers was Brett Favre. He might have been called on a little too early here, but Mason Rudolph isn't one of those just regular backup quarterbacks. He's not exactly Josh McCown, like the Eagles brought in that game last night, which was just really random. But look, like what Matt Breida did, it makes up for the lack of that number one feature receiver that you don't have right now. You have George Kittle, right? But we saw what the offense did when they made George Kittle the only guy they targeted. It didn't go the way the offense is supposed to go. It didn't drive down the field. But with Matt Breida, if he continues to run like that, the offensive line continues to give him that room. The offensive line did fantastic yesterday, and we'll talk about Joe Staley's injury in a little bit. But what Matt Breida did, and I'm also going to talk about the defense too. Also going to talk about defense. Haven't forgot about the defense yet. But Matt Breida, he's the guy right now. He is your feature back. And with Raheem Mostert running behind him, it's a great 1-2 punch to have when they're both healthy. And then Tevin Coleman, once they get him back, I mean, that's going to be a hell of a running back by committee squad, even though Matt Breida, I think, has earned his feature back role. How they're going to integrate Tevin Coleman into the offense coming back, we'll see. That remains to be seen. That's for down the line. That's for after the bye week. But right now, you're looking at it, it's hard to say they're not going to go 3-0 going into the bye week and then going to the Browns on Monday night. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. From the 650 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, only two games, but damn, Dallas looks good. Yeah, Dallas does look good. Dallas looking like the best team in the NFC right now, if you had to crown anyone, but the 49ers are definitely up there. You can make the argument. I mean, they're top three right now, I think, in the NFC. From the 510, at first I thought it would be a back-and-forth shootout once both teams scored pretty quick, but then the Niners defense stepped up. Best time I had watching that game since the Harbaugh years. That is from Andy. No doubt, when Tyler Boyd was going deep, you're wondering, oh no, is this 49ers secondary really going to go or really going to perform how we thought they perform against this Bengals wide receiving core? They're speedy. They can stretch the field and they can also catch the ball. Tyler Boyd and John Ross. John Ross can't really catch the ball. His hands are pretty bad. But Tyler Boyd, though, he's a guy that you can rely on. And you thought with that deep ball at the beginning of the game, you're like, oh, man. And then they get the ball to Tyler Eifert in the end zone. And anyone who has Tyler Eifert on their bench in fantasy, please stand up. I'm currently standing up because I had him on my bench. I also had Raheem Mostert on my bench, who I picked up for Tony Pollard. That was a mistake because of what we saw, what he did with the screen pass. But everything that happened yesterday is just a product of what the 49ers are trying to build right now, and that's to play with a solid defensive line on the defensive side of the ball, which helps the secondary. The secondary being led by Richard Sherman. They brought in Quan Alexander, and you saw what he did yesterday. We'll talk about him on the other side. Then on the offensive side of the ball, they've had faith in Matt Breida from day one. Matt Breida went out there and performed. Jimmy Garoppolo managed the game well. You didn't need him to have you didn't need him to try and save the game. You didn't need that quarterback type of game from Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, can he do that? We'll see when the game rests on his shoulders. But Matt Breida was able to just carry everything that happened, and no pun intended there. The wide receivers were able to get open and catch the ball. George Kittle, he wasn't even a primary target as far as receiving goes, but he was fantastic blocking, as you heard from Chris Spielman over and over again. And I mean, I hope Brenneman's okay after Spielman just armbarred him. I'm sure if you were watching the Fox broadcast, you saw them do a slow-mo replay of it. It's like, calm down, Chris. Sheesh. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888 957-9570. Want your thoughts on the win. Are you going 3-0 going into the bye week? Has your view of them changed now that you've seen them actually play a legitimate style of football? We'll be talking about that next. Stephen Langford in with you on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
One of the more surprising stats to me that came in this game yesterday, it's not the fact that the Niners put up over 500 yards of total offense. It wasn't any of that. The one that stuck with me was Joe Mixon having 10 carries for 17 yards. 10 carries for 17 yards. Now, I know Joe Mixon was playing on the sprained ankle and he was going to be day-to-day and you didn't know whether he was even going to be in the game or not. But when you hold Joe Mixon to just 17 yards on 10 carries, if you just have 10 carries, you can fall over into 17 yards. That 49ers run defense, what they did yesterday, I have nothing but praises for them. The defensive line, you saw the depth that they have, and they're not even putting Nick Bosa in for more than half the plays. As a matter of fact, they're putting him for less than half the plays right now. You're not putting him in for a majority of the time. But the defensive line, though, they have depth. And you don't have to put these starters in every time. And we'll get more of an update on D. Ford going forward. He did leave the game with an injury. But as far as the defensive line goes, though, and you look at the snap counts for all of them, Solomon Thomas got in just as much as Nick Bosa. Arik Armstead looks to be a new defensive end. And you got DJ Jones, Sheldon Day, all of them. I mean, who Chris Spielman couldn't seem to get right on the Fox broadcast. He seemed to forget Sheldon Day's name. But what they did defensively yesterday, it can't go overlooked, because that offense, it was a high-powered offense, but that defense and the secondary were the ones who played a majority of the snaps. They were the ones who were playing 100%. You look at Tarvarius Moore, Richard Sherman was playing a majority of them. Kaywan Williams was coming in to back them up. Akello Witherspoon played 100% of them. And Akello Witherspoon looks great. Richard Sherman following step for step with John Ross. And one of the things that Chris Spielman pointed out, and you see on Twitter, I don't know how Richard Sherman followed along with John Ross when John Ross is one of the speediest wide receivers in the game. That's because Richard Sherman's smart and he understands the timing of it. If John Ross beats you from his release and just instantly, boom, gets past you, and you're not even working on the timing, you don't know what's coming, running after him, or running step for step with him. But the fact that Richard Sherman knew what was coming because he knew John Ross was going to go deep with a nine route, with a little go route, yeah, that's where you knew, like, okay, Richard Sherman knows what's coming. But it can't go overlooked what the defense did yesterday. From the 650 on the Chilton Autobody text line, now get a wounded Steeler squad. It's a very high chance that they could go 3-0 going into this bye week. From the 408, Matt looked like Barry Sanders on that one play. And that one play he's talking about is this one.
Third down. And looking for a hole. And what a juke there by Breida. And off to the race down the sideline with a man to beat. And run out of bounds inside the 15. That's what Breida can do for you.
Thanks to Fox for the audio. And I'm looking on the TV now, and they're showing Raheem Mostert's screen pass for a touchdown. That guy, he ran for a top speed of 21 miles an hour last week. And he didn't get that many touches. But you saw what that speed can do from the screen pass, and the linebacker was totally fooled. They didn't know what to do. The defense was on their toes the entire time, and they were guessing, and they were playing the guessing game, and Carlos Dunlap had nothing but praises for him afterwards, saying they were showing them every single sort of look. If you had any doubts about Kyle Shanahan and why he's called a quote-unquote offensive guru, well, you saw that come into full effect yesterday. You saw how he can make defenses think, and I know you may be thinking it's the Bengals. They don't have that great of a defense. Well, they performed well last week, and they looked like one of the more fearless front sevens that they had, and they got to the quarterback, pressured him at least 50% of the time when they were playing against the Seahawks. So their defense is not awful. They still got some pieces there, and there's obviously some work that's going to need to be done with the new coaching staff, but I'm not going to chalk this up to just, it was a win against the Bengals. There were many things to take away from that game where you think that's what a good team should do. And now they're showing the Raiders and the Chiefs game, and you're seeing the exact same thing. And I'm seeing a text on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Raiders game ended after the first quarter. It was fine in the first quarter. It was the second quarter where it ended. Patrick Mahomes just decided, like, life comes at you fast. You know that saying, life comes at you fast? Well, look at the final 3 minutes of that first half, and then you could say, hey, John Gruden, Derek Carr, life comes at you fast. Instead, Mahomes comes at you fast. Man, that guy. Patrick Mahomes is a generational talent, and really, growing up a Raider fan, I was never a big Chiefs guy, but I can't help but respect what Patrick Mahomes does. But that's beside the point right now. That game was very uninteresting to me. That game didn't have much going for it. All you saw was Derek Carr checking at the line every single play, trying to confuse the defense, and it worked in the first quarter. But then going for the rest of the game, you could tell the young guys like a Hunter Renfrow or a Tyrell Williams, the guys that are first years on this team, they were the ones who were kind of confused by it all and not really getting what was going on. So Derek Carr and John Gruden seem to be on the same page, but the rest of the offense doesn't, and that game just wasn't all that interesting. But it's still, I think there's promise there. I really do. I'm not saying that it's over, but what they got going into Vegas, going into the next few seasons, I think it's going to be pretty special what they got once they are all clicking on the same page. But what you're seeing right now with the Niners, though, is a team that is clicking on all cylinders. And I think that I was shocked. Like I don't know really how else to put it. Because you're watching this game against the Buccaneers and you're thinking, all right, anything that's the reason that you can't see what this offense is going to look like is because of the flags. Well, they still got 9 flags yesterday, so it wasn't like the penalties were it wasn't like there were less penalties than before. It seemed like there was on offense and ones that didn't matter as much, but the Niners were able to make up for it. And the wide receivers, that's the only – if I'm going to have any one thing, that is still the only quote-unquote question mark surrounding the offense right now, because you don't know what the wide receiver – you don't know who you can really lean on to be that number one guy. They spread the ball around in this game, which is what I like the most about Jimmy Garoppolo. He was looking at every receiver, wasn't just staring down one. He had open receivers, but he was going through his progressions, and he played a good game. He played a pretty good game. The interception was not great, but he did play a good game after all, throwing 3 touchdowns for 290-plus yards. He did well, and he had a good game, I thought. And he was comfortable in the pocket. He was taking time to throw the ball, looking at the pressures and everything, making his pre-snap reads. He was doing it all. Now, I mean, was he needed to win this game, though? No, because you had Matt Breida just running all over the Bengals defense, just confusing them. I mean, there's nothing right now that should just not give you hope for this 49er team going into the future. And I think you understood why the 95.7 of the Game NFL insiders that come on this show, whether it was Adam Kaplan or Peter King or Brian Baldinger, all those guys had high expectations for the Niners. And there were even question marks from the Niner fans, right? And including me, I didn't know what this team was going to be. I didn't think 10 wins was going to be a possibility. But now I know it's an overreaction. It might be an overreaction to week 2. But you just saw them go out there and dominate a Bengals team. And you're supposed to do that. You can't just make the excuse the Bengals are a bad team. I mean, I'm sure the Eagles had that excuse yesterday. I know they were dropping like flies on offense, but they still lost to a Falcons team who everyone just assumed was done because of how badly they lost in the previous week. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. From the 415, Carr throwing that pick in the end zone was a death nail. Carr looked confusing, conservative, knowing he was behind. It looked like he didn't have faith in the offense. That's really what I took away from that. But from the 912, I've never lost faith. I picked 10 wins, been sticking with it. But there were a lot of Niner fans, though, who just didn't expect that. And they were wondering, like, there were terms like, what are these guys smoking? What are these guys doing? Why are they saying this? Well, now you're kind of seeing why they actually have high hopes for this team if they manage to stay healthy. That's the biggest if. It's not a question of Kyle Shanahan's play calling. It's not a question of whether Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy. It's just a big if they stay healthy. And one guy who needs to stay healthy going forward is a guy I'm going to talk about next. Chilton Autobody text line 957-95-888-957-9570. You can guess who that one player is, but I got nothing but praises for this guy. Find out who it is next. Stephen Langford in with you on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. That's a tease.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
The guy who I think is key for staying healthy, who has had some problems with injuries in the past, is this guy.
Ball flushed out of the pocket and throws, and it's intercepted. I mean, threw it right into the hands of Quan Alexander, and that's about the third pass on this drive that Dalton is lucky wasn't intercepted. There's a penalty flag down.
Quan Alexander is everything that they wanted Reuben Foster to be. He's flying around the field. He doesn't have to communicate anymore with the green dot on his helmet. He can fly freely, do whatever he wants, and basically just be a ball hawk and go and get the guy who has the ball in his hands, and he's able to do that. He reminds me of that linebacker from The Replacements who Jon Favreau plays. You can follow me at Nice Guy Steven on Twitter. I tweeted it out. Didn't get any traction. But but Quan Alexander, he's bringing something to this Niners defense that has him cooking right now. He's bringing an energy that you thought you'd see from Richard Sherman last season, but you didn't. And now I think he's bringing it out of Richard Sherman as well, and what he's going to do going forward in the season. I'm really looking forward to it. But he has had some problems with injury in his past, obviously tearing his ACL in the seventh week of the season. But if you can have Quan Alexander out there for 16 games, that'll do nothing but wonders for the defense. The defense is all, it's all a trickle down effect. What the defensive line does and what that front seven does affects what that secondary does. And it's just, it goes back and forth, and they're playing as a team right now. And Robert Saleh has them cooking. Any questions about Robert Saleh too? It's one thing I've been bringing up in the show, and I always forget that a lot of you are probably just getting into your car at 5:35 in the morning. By the way, stay safe on the roads. It rained. What? It rained? Like, what's going on here? In California, you need to make up your mind. Either you're going to be 100 degrees, stay 100 degrees. Don't be bipolar with the weather. But that's beside the point. Be careful out there driving, though. You know how roads are when it first rains and the roads are pretty slick. But that's beside the point. Quan Alexander, though, he is able to bring this energy. It's just he's that guy on defense who you want on your team. He's like that Draymond Green. You love to have him on your team, but you hate playing against him because even though you may get a positive play and he makes the tackle, he's going to let you know he made the tackle. And I don't even know if he does that just to trash talk the other team. I actually think that Quan Alexander does that for himself. I just watched that 30 for 30 on Dennis Rodman. I don't know if you watched that, but they talked about how he would, you know, when he would go up and he would get a dunk in college, he would cheer. And when he was on the Pistons, he would cheer, but he wasn't like pointing at anyone. He wasn't doing it for anyone specific. He's doing it for himself because it pumps him up, and it's how he plays. And Quan Alexander plays kind of like that. And I just think what he's bringing to the 49er defense, it's obvious. You see him making plays. You see his number around the ball. If you're trying to watch defense in the NFL, I think watching defense and trying to understand defenses in sports is one of the toughest things. Maybe not baseball, but when you're talking about basketball and football, trying to understand how intricate defenses are, there's certain things we don't see that they do. But to the naked eye, when you're just a regular fan watching football, you notice Quan Alexander. He jumps out of the screen. DeForest Buckner spoke after the game, and he talked about Quan Alexander.
Quan is the jungle. You know what I mean? You can count on him bringing energy every single game, every single day. And he's gonna give you his all. So you know, we really appreciate him. He really gets the defense up and going, and with all the energy, and we just feed off of it.
Quan is the jungle.
He is the jungle. You know what I mean? We were playing in the jungle today, but he was the jungle. You know what I mean? So it was just a big, you know, he. Big morale booster for sure.
The jungle. You know, that song by Andre Nicotino comes to mind. It's like a jungle sometimes. From the 707 on the Chilton Autobody text line, even though that is the message from Grandmaster Flash. I listened to that album out of nowhere, by the way. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five over the weekend. Love it. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 from the 707. Totally expected this. Hate to say I told you so. ... No, I don't. Told you Jimmy was like the car accident victim. The more he plays, the more comfortable he gets in the pocket, the more he looks like Garoppolo that got that contract. Defense is a stud this year. Looking forward to this season. With Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday, though, you didn't really, for me, when you watch a quarterback and you determine whether they're, you know, whether they're good, bad, or, you know, elite, they're the ones that save the games for these teams. They're the ones, when the team's down, the quarterback is the one that rallies them. And you really didn't need Garoppolo to be that guy yesterday. You had Matt Breida just running all over the Bengal defense, Breida the cheetah, and you really didn't need Jimmy Garoppolo to play that great of a game. You needed him to play a manageable game, a mistake-free game, and he had an interception, but for the most part, he played a relatively clean game. There's some good and some bad, but I have nothing really bad to say about his performance because it just was a different player than last week. And yeah, going forward in these coming weeks, going against that Steeler defense next week, I think that you're going to see an improved Jimmy Garoppolo week by week. We'll see how he really does going forward, but it's a hard game to really evaluate the quarterback by just because of how badly the running game just beat up on them. And the running game was opening up so much, and he was making those open throws, which is something you want. That was a knock on Lamar Jackson. It felt like with the Ravens last year, he was getting these open looks like he's getting this year, but the biggest difference from last year to this year is that he's actually making those open throws. You look at those throws that Lamar Jackson's making, 2018 Lamar Jackson ain't making the throws that 2019 Lamar Jackson's making, and Jimmy Garoppolo is making those open throws. And I threw out the stat here to start out the show, but the percentage of aggressive passes that he made. And when I say aggressive, that means that the target that he has, there's a yard of separation at least, or at least a yard of separation in between that receiver and the cornerback or the linebacker, whoever's covering him or whoever's defending him, right? So when he throws into tight windows, that means there's less than a yard of separation between the receiver and the defender. He only had 4% of those yesterday. And that was second to last in the league. And that's not saying anything about Jimmy Garoppolo. That's just saying everything about how the offense was operating. Now, if he was less aggressive and he didn't put up the numbers, that's when you'd have something to worry about. But when you have when you're only making aggressive throws 4% of the time, that means that something is cooking with the offense. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 from the 707. Jimmy played good, but Shanahan dialed up wide open targets. I'm not going to be fooled by the stats. I still believe my eyes. He, you know what? I mean, if you're going to really go down to it, there is some stuff that he needs to show a little more. He needs to show that he could put the team on his back. But right now, that doesn't matter because Matt Breida was able to carry the load. And I think going forward, though, that's something this offense can do. And the offensive line without Joe Staley is actually going to be a bigger blow than I think we originally anticipated. But here's Kyle Shanahan talking about Joe Staley's injury.
All right, Staley went out, his broken fibula, and Ford went out with quad irritation. From what I hear so far, we'll find out more tomorrow, but it should be less than 8 weeks, so I don't think he'll be an IR candidate, but we'll find out more tomorrow. I think it's something he's had before.
So we'll see. He's not going to be an IR candidate, meaning he's not going to be out for the entire season. And 916 on the Chilton Autobody text line. Is it me or are stats becoming more and more arbitrary? Like, who made up the term aggressive pass? I don't know who made up the term, but I love this person because I'm a pretty big stat person. That's why I enjoy baseball, because analytics are becoming more a part of the game, and I find them to be pretty damn interesting. But yeah, the things that are making up now, though, they're kind of becoming confusing, and you're just like, what's happening? But there is more than just the stats that you're seeing on NFL.com. You can't determine how a player does just by looking at those stats, because it's really those stats that they're bringing up, the basic ones. Football is just so those stats are just so flawed by football because you don't know. For instance, if a quarterback has a ton of yards, you don't know how many of those yards were yards after the catch or yards after contact or whatever. You don't know how much of that is skewed and everything like that. These more arbitrary stats that you're talking about, they're like just they're trying to get a better read on how these players actually perform. And you're seeing right now that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have the greatest of arbitrary stats. We don't even have to call them next-gen stats anymore. We can call them arbitrary stats. He didn't have the greatest of them last week, but this week he was much improved. But the reason that Joe Staley's loss is a big one is because of their success running to the left side. And you could count that also with George Kittle as he's being that pulling tight end or whether he's lining up on the left when they're in just a when they're in a 21 personnel. But when Matt Breida ran to the left, he had four attempts to the left, 40 yards. And when he ran in between the guard and the tackle, he had four attempts also, 41 yards. So he was getting a lot of his work done on the left side yesterday. That's why Staley's injury could be pretty big. But also, I mean, with what Matt Breida showed you with that run, that elusiveness on that third and one, I'm going to play the sound again because that play was my favorite play of the game by far.
Third down. And looking for a hold. And what a juke there by Breida. And off to the race down the sideline with a man to beat. And run out of bounds inside the 15. That's what Breida can do for you.
Credit Fox for the audio. Shout out to Tom Brenneman and Chris Spielman on the call. But you could tell that they were just you could tell that they were bored in the booth. Like they were just trying to keep the game going, trying to make it interesting for the fans. And when in reality, just the 49ers were taking it to them. And when you're calling that type of game, it's interesting when the team's beating up on them. But when, you know, the defense is just playing that well against Andy Dalton and really there's not many, you know, there aren't many big plays to call. There aren't like, you know, there weren't any pick sixes or anything like that. There were a couple of sacks here and there, but really it was just defense playing stout defense. And it's kind of hard for the booth to sometimes make it interesting because of what they were making the Bengals offense do. But that Breida 34-yard run on third and one, that's just something that shows the kind of guy he is. I went into this week saying that they might need to just at first split the carries and see who has the hot hand, but you saw that Breida had the hot hand yesterday. From the 707 on the Chilton Autobody text line, I agree. Talk to Texter or something? It says Brenda, but we're gonna say Breida. I agree Breida was the catalyst in the win, but at the very least, I hope this cools the Mullins talk. I don't know why the Mullins talk even existed. Think about it. You look at it in the long term. All right? If you don't think you're riding on Jimmy Garoppolo, you have built this team around your quarterback, right? So if you just get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo, don't start him, and you're playing Nick Mullins, what's in the future? Because I'll tell you something, Nick Mullins is probably not the starter of the future going forward. I'm not going to say definitively he's not because this is the NFL and you never know. You saw Nick Foles have a rejuvenated career and all of a sudden he's the starter on the Jaguars, almost retiring 4 years ago. But that's besides the point. Nick Mullins was not going to be the starter of the future. And if you sat Jimmy Garoppolo, there was thoughts about him being possibly sat in like if they went 2-6 by the time week 9 came around. Like what? That just didn't make any sense to me in this last week. I know I was nitpicking a lot of what he was showing, but I wasn't saying that you need to bench the guy. I was never saying that. But it was just, it was unbelievable what that talk was. I didn't understand any of that. From the 901 on the Chilton Autobody text line. Niners backfield is a fantasy owner's nightmare. Yeah, it was one for me. Had Raheem Mostert on my bench, scored me 22 points. I didn't put him in. But, you know, that's the pitfalls of fantasy. I don't even, I like to think I know things about fantasy because last week I went 3-0. I was so cocky. I was so cocky all week. Just, I was texting all the groups, everything, because in a couple of the leagues, I was leading the leagues in points. And I went 3-0 in my three leagues. And then this week, I'm probably going 1-2. Thought I knew everything. putting in these guys, streaming these players, bringing this guy in off my bench. I had the Tyler Boyd going in from my bench. That was actually kind of okay. That was like the only good pick I made this week in fantasy. But yeah, the Niners are going to give you some fits in fantasy. But one guy who you, I don't know, maybe this is going to be worth a pickup if he's a free agent or on the waivers.
Now thrown in the eye by Juszczyk. They're going to throw it. And to the end zone, wide open. It is a touchdown for the rookie Samuel. And for Samuel, that is his first career NFL touchdown. He's on his way to a 100-yard receiving game today.
I mean, Deebo Samuel, credit Fox for the audio. Deebo Samuel, he is a good wide receiver. I think that going forward, there's a lot that we put on his plate as a rookie. But right now, we can just, I think, assume that Dante Pettis isn't going to be that number one guy. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future with this wide receiver core. I don't know if they're just going to have to continue to rely on the run game. But as of right now, it looks like you're going to have to rely on the run game so you can get these receivers open. Because these receivers are speedy. Right? They can beat the secondary if they get a good jump on them. And if Kyle Shanahan is calling plays like he was yesterday, then the wide receivers can run wild. The wild wide receivers. They can run wild if they want. But also, there's not that number one guy who's going to get you 100 yards every single time. But Deebo Samuel is damn close. And, you know, going forward, he'll probably be the number one dude as Marquise Goodwin. He's still fast. You saw it. He's still fast, and he's that's the biggest question, I think. If you had to pick one, it's probably the wide receivers and the 9-1-2. You was talking about maybe Mullins coming in. Come on, Steven, you did. I absolutely did not. I didn't. I mean, I'm not gonna just I can sit here and just kind of say, I can say that Jimmy Garoppolo had a really bad week last week, and they're just facts, but I wasn't talking about, hey, bring in the backup quarterback because this guy's done. From the 209 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, would McGlinchey switch to the left tackle, or they just plug Skule at left tackle? That's what sucks about the injury earlier in the preseason to their swing tackle, but yeah, Justin Skule is probably going to have to come in at left tackle. There will be more on Joe Staley coming up today. We'll see how they do, but here's Jimmy Garoppolo talking about the loss of Staley.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I just heard about the news and everything, especially in the situation we were in. You know, game's kind of out of hand at that point, and Joe goes down. It sucks. So especially, you know, guy like Joe, you know, he'll be back though, and so we'll be in good spirits and everything. But you know, it's tough.
From the 650 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. The 650. Hopefully Trent Brown answers his phone. Niners might be calling for a left tackle to keep up this running game. That's from Mark. Not Trent Brown, because he got paid by the, I mean, you're talking about Trent Williams probably. And that's just a question of whether you think he's worth a first round pick. And if you think he is, they don't have a second round pick next year. So you'd be getting rid of those first two draft picks if you were to try and trade a first-round pick as well as more for Trent Williams. But I think it all depends on what how severe his injury is. If he's out for the season, then yeah, you might think about it. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but going into this week, we'll see what Joe Staley's return time is, what his timetable is to come back. Because they're saying that he might not go on IR right now. He probably won't. It's not expected that he will, but he could come back. He's got a broken fibula as of right now, or fibula rather. Tibia, fibula, it always gets mixed up. That's why I got a C in that's why I got a C in that one class in Chico State that I just totally even forgot that I'm totally blanking on. Chilton Auto Body text line 957 anatomy. Thank you. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. As much as it pains me as a Raider fan, I have not heard a touchdown 40. From the 650, Jimmy G had a bad training camp, bad preseason, bad opening game, and finally plays well and all of a sudden is a savior again. Let's all slow down. I didn't say he was the savior. Man, everyone, you hear something from Jimmy Garoppolo and you just assume that you just assume the most absolute things. God, it's like last year I said Jimmy Garoppolo had, or last week rather, I said Jimmy Garoppolo had a bad week, and then and he had a bad week, and then all of a sudden I'm saying Jimmy Garoppolo isn't the guy for the future of this franchise. That's not what I'm saying. I was just talking about his bad week. And this week, too, I'm not saying he's the savior, like a savior of a team, but he's also one who's going to be with the team as the franchise quarterback. I'm not saying he's going to be the savior. Savior is way too much of an absolute. The savior right now has been the entire team. There's no one single savior. This is what, if you had to put one savior on it, it's probably John Lynch, because this is what he's wanted since drafting this team and bringing in these free agents like Quan Alexander and Richard Sherman. If you had to put the name on one savior right now. Man. From the 510 on Chilton Auto Body text line, it's good not to have one number one receiver because teams can game plan for him. And what if he gets hurt? You are done. They have a plethora of weapons. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. But also that number one receiver is that guy you just can't even game plan for. You know, he's the you know that the Falcons are probably going to go to Julio Jones, but if you execute the play like the Falcons did against the Eagles last night, he's going to take it to the house regardless. But yeah, you know, they really don't know. These defenses might not know what Kyle Shanahan is going to throw at them, which is what the happened to the Bengals yesterday. It's exactly what happened to the Bengals yesterday. From the 415, Jimmy G still did better than Carr. Yeah. Yeah, he did. It's a interesting debate between those two. I think those two right now, I don't think their styles of play are similar, but it's an interesting debate to talk about who's better between Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr. Raider fans are on one side, Niner fans are on the other. But either way, Derek Carr didn't look great yesterday. For the first time, I actually saw him showing some emotion in a post-game presser when he talked about that offensive pass interference on Ryan Grant. But but yeah, he obviously did play better than Carr yesterday, because what was that throw in the end zone to Tyrell Williams? He was checking at the line. He was calling Monday, trying to fool the defense. And in the end, it worked in the first quarter. But after that, just didn't work out too well. But the star yesterday, though, and it always end up talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, but the star yesterday was Matt Breida. That guy, what he did would be the reason why the offense keeps rolling if Jimmy Garoppolo's not having a good day. You didn't need Jimmy Garoppolo to be that quarterback who's going to come in and save whatever the defense isn't giving him. He wasn't coming in to try and be that guy who, you know, who tries to pick up the slack of the running backs and everything. Matt Breida was everything for them yesterday. And then you put Raheem Mostert behind him, who's just going to run through people with that speed. It was a 1-2 punch that the Bengals could not stop. And I made this point at the beginning of the show, and since we're coming toward the end here, we're going to be coming up with Jolo and Dibs at 6 o'clock. I made this point toward the beginning of the show, but the one knock on the wins in the past couple of weeks, if there's a knock, is saying, oh, they played the Buccaneers, oh, they played the Bengals. Well, look at how the Buccaneers played in Week 2 against the Panthers, and look at how the Bengals played in Week 1 against the Seahawks. The 49ers made these teams that you expect to look bad look like the teams you expect them to be. Does that make sense? It may sound a little confusing, but what I'm trying to tell you is that they at least made the teams that are expected to be bad look bad, because when you have the Seahawks and the Panthers, who are pretty decent teams, they didn't make the Buccaneers or the Bengals look bad. But the 49ers, they went out there and they just beat the Bengals 41-17. It was the most dominant win that I've seen in the Kyle Shanahan era. And I don't think anyone's trying to argue that. 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line really, really got on me for it by saying it's the most obvious statement you've ever said. Well, it has to be said. I don't think I've ever watched a 49er game with just so much ease before, with just all right, this is easy. This is fine. They're fine. The Bengals aren't going to come back. 49ers defense is clicking. The offense is clicking and everything. All right. Man, football's weird. Football's so strange. What happened with the Eagles and the Falcons yesterday? You know, you think the Falcons, the way they performed against the Vikings, they were just toast. But then they go out there and they beat the Eagles. Granted, the Eagles were hurt, but I mean, football's just odd. I don't really get it. I don't know what to make of anything. It's like the most confident I am in anything right now is that the 49ers are actually kind of a decent team. That's the only thing that I'm confident in saying right now. All right, coming up, we're going to have Chris Biederman at 6:30, Jerry Rice at 8:40, Ian Williams at 9:05, Joe Lo and Dib next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.